Well, good morning, everybody. How are you today? Good. If you have your Bibles, go with me to Judges chapter 6, if you will. Judges chapter 6. Okay, I'll use the pulpit. Now everybody's awake, right? Now I'm going to have nobody falling asleep on me over the next few minutes. That'll be great. I do have a name to add to the prayer list, and we're still pretty hot up here, guys. I do have a name to add to the prayer list. Please pray for Jacob Burney. Many of you know Jacob. He grew up around here. He serves in the United States military, and he will be heading overseas very soon, and will be there for some time. Joanna's heading up to Kansas to be with him for a while before he leaves. So please pray for Jacob, that God would protect him physically and spiritually as he's gone. He certainly needs your prayers. We're all praying for Dr. and Mrs. Weaver, and Dr. and Mrs. Barbara is there out praying, and I'm so glad that I have the opportunity to teach this morning. We're in a series of lessons called Portraits of Grace, how God's grace met Bible characters when they were going through challenging situations. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand this morning, but just looking around, because I'm your pastor, I happen to know that many of you are facing challenging situations in your life right now. And I can't think of anything that we need more in those moments than God's grace. Every day of my life, I claim the promise that God's grace is sufficient for me. That no matter what I will face over the next 24 hours, God's grace is more than enough. Today, we meet a man named Gideon, who certainly felt like he had a situation that was far bigger than him, and God met him in his humility and gave him grace for his need. Now, I think Gideon, and many of you know the story, so before we read, I think Gideon probably felt very inadequate to do what God had called him to do, to lead the armies of the children of Israel to defeat the Midianites. I'm sure he did feel very inadequate. Have you ever felt inadequate to do something God's called you to do? Maybe it was raise your children, or be the kind of spouse that you need to be, or perhaps to lead a ministry that God asked you to lead, or perhaps to take a bigger role at your job. See, God is always calling us to opportunities where we'll have to live by faith. And in every one of those opportunities, we'll feel inadequate to do what he's called us to do. We wonder, couldn't God have picked someone stronger, someone smarter, and someone more talented, someone more capable? I think Gideon felt like that too. So in this lesson, we're going to see a man who felt inadequate, but God gave him grace to build faith. Grace to build faith. Let's look at Judges chapter 6. We'll begin our reading in verse 1. Judges chapter 6, verse 1. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian 7 years. And the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel. And because of the Midianites, the children of Israel made them the dens which are in the mountains and caves and strongholds. And so it was that when Israel had sown, that the Midianites came up, and the Amalekites, and the children of the east, even they came up against them. And they encamped against them, and destroyed the increase of the earth, till thou come unto Gaza, and left no sustenance for Israel, neither sheep, nor ox, nor ass. For they came up with their cattle in their tents, and they came as grasshoppers for multitude. For both they and their camels were without number, and they entered into the land to destroy it. Now we remember when we come to Judges that we've come to a transition period in Israel's history of about 400 years. The children of Israel are taken into the promised land by Joshua. It's a period of success, a period of conquest. Joshua dies, and there arises a generation that knew not the Lord. And for 400 years, God gives his people judges. They were military chieftains. They were meant to deliver the people from their oppression, and on some occasions, they served as legislators, though most of the time, they really were just military men who delivered the children of Israel. We know that in the book of Judges that there is a cycle that takes place 7 times. God's people fall into sin. God and then finally they call out to God. They repent and they turn to God. God sends a judge. He gives victory. There's a period of rest in the land, and then they go through that same cycle time and time and time again. You know, it's easy to be hard on the people in the time of the judges, but if I were to look at the spiritual trajectory of many of our lives today, my guess is that our lives have followed a very similar trajectory. Well, here the children of Israel are. They're as low as they could possibly be. They're oppressed. The Midianites and several other countries come upon them when it's time to harvest. They have nothing to eat, no grain, no animals. They come and take the harvest and they leave the people hungry. I think it's a good illustration of how God uses pressure in difficult times to bring us to himself. I brought today a little bottle of orange juice. I'm not going to drink this bottle of orange juice because I brushed my teeth right before I came in here. And it's terrible to drink orange juice after you brush your teeth, isn't it? You know, on orange juice and a lot of other beverages, there's a saying. And it says on this beverage, shake before using. And I want you to know, folks, that that's often true in our lives. Before God can really use us the way that he wants to use us, he has to shake us. That's exactly what he's doing in the life of Gideon and in the lives of the children of Israel. Look at verse 6. And Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites, and here it is, and the children of Israel cried unto the Lord. This stress, this hunger, this pressure forced the Israelites to cry out to God and praise the Lord that even after they had been away from him for years and years and years in hard rebellion, the Lord listened to their prayers and he sent them a judge to deliver them, a man by the name of Gideon. Now you know the story. You know there's quite a process that God is going to bring Gideon through to get him to the place where he can be the man the children of Israel need him to be. What causes God to give us grace to continue even when we feel inadequate, even when we feel like we can't? Well, I want you to notice, first of all, that God's grace on Gideon was grace for a humble man. Grace for a humble man. Look at what he was doing when we first meet him in the Bible. Look at verse 11. And there came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak, which was in Ophrah, that pertained unto Joash the Abizite, and his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. So God has determined that he's going to deliver his people, and he's going to do it through a man named Gideon. And what we see in this first portrait of Gideon's life is a portrait of humility. I notice a couple of things about Gideon's humility. First of all, Gideon was selfless. He was selfless. The Bible says that he was threshing wheat in a wine press. Now, I don't know how many farmers we have in here today, but you don't thresh wheat in a wine press. You make wine there. Why was Gideon threshing wheat in a wine press? Well, we read about it earlier. The Midianites would come and they would take all the sustenance of the land. So Gideon was threshing wheat in that wine press so that he would have food to take home to his family, and so the Midianites wouldn't take it. Now, some people have said that Gideon was afraid, and that was probably part of it. But another thing to notice is that when God finds Gideon, he is selflessly serving his family. He's busy. I've often heard it said that God uses busy people. God doesn't call people who are sitting on the bench. God typically calls people in the game, and he calls them to a greater game. Gideon was doing something selfless. He was doing something that if he got caught would lead to a lot of trouble for he and his family, but he was selflessly serving them. I love Matthew 16:24. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, can't. And I want to remind you of another thing that Jesus said. He said, he that is faithful in that which is what? Least shall be made ruler over much. Yeah, maybe there was some fear in what Gideon was doing, but he was doing what he could, and it was a small thing. And because he was faithful in a small thing, God gave him more to do. First of all, I see that he was selfless. Not only that, Gideon was submissive. Now, listen, get yourself inside the sandals of these Bible characters, and you'll love these Bible stories even more. Here's Gideon doing something kind of secretive. He's in a wine press. He's threshing wheat. He's trying to escape anyone looking at him. He wants to get in and get out, and he wants to be unseen. When all of a sudden, an angel sits under an oak tree and says, "Gideon, what are you doing over there?" I think Gideon probably jumped out of his skin. What do you think? The angel appears to him and says, "Gideon, I've got a job for you to do. You are a mighty man of valor." Look at verse 13. "And Gideon said unto him, 'O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where be all his miracles which our father told us of, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites.'" You know what I love about that? It's raw honesty. And we've all been there, haven't we? "Lord, you say you love me. You say you're with me. Then why are all of these hard things happening? Where's your grace? Where's your power? When are you going to break through?" Those are the questions Gideon was asking. Now, even though God had called Gideon to be a mighty man of valor, he was doubtful. He wondered how he could be. He's going to go on in verse 14. "The Lord looked upon him and said, 'Go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee?'" Gideon's going to go on later in this passage, and he's going to tell the Lord, "I'm the least in my house. My father's house is the least in the tribe, and our tribe is the least in Israel." Here's a great truth, and I've always loved it. Gideon did not see himself as a mighty man of valor, but God did. God did not see Gideon for what he was. He saw Gideon for what he could be. And ladies and gentlemen, did you know that when God looks down at us, he not only sees what we are, he sees what we can be. Gideon would become a mighty man of valor. He would become one of the greatest leaders Israel had ever known. He couldn't see that about his own life yet, but God saw it in him. When God sees us, he sees us as what he will make of us. He sees us as what his grace will do in our lives, not as what we are when he finds us. I love that truth. Verse 15, that's what he says. "O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house." God, you've got the wrong guy. I'm not a soldier. I'm not rich. I'm not the guy to deliver the people. Are you sure you showed up to talk to the right person? And what is Gideon feeling here? Inadequacy. I can't do this. No way. Let's be honest. All of us feel inadequate at different times of our life. I'm going to let you into something in my life. Are you ready? I feel inadequate every Sunday. Every Sunday, really, mostly every Saturday night, me and God have a conversation. And I say, "God, are you sure you picked the right guy? Are you sure I'm the one who's supposed to pastor the Worth Baptist Church? I mean, we've got Dr. Barber and Dr. Weaver out there, and they could preach a better sermon than I could. God, are you sure I'm the guy who's supposed to preach to these people?" And God says to me, "Don't you know, Tyler, you've come into the kingdom for such a time as this. I see you not only for what you are, I see what you will be. I have a plan and purpose for your life, and you trust by faith that I can use someone even as weak as you." And we've all been there, haven't we? Trusting God when he calls us to a hard place in life is really just a matter of faith. Gideon doesn't think he's enough, but he says, "Okay, God, if you want to use me, you can use me." 2 Corinthians 12:9, I've already quoted it. Paul has a thorn in the flesh. God says to him, "My grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness." Paul says, "Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." And I'm just reminded this morning that God often does not call the strong. God often does not call the rich or the talented or those with a lot of ability. He calls the weak, he calls the poor, he calls the unable. Why? Because when he gives grace and transforms them into mighty men and mighty women of valor, there will be no doubt as to who did the work and who gets the glory. We have to trust that God can do that even in our own lives. So first of all, I see grace for a humble man. Gideon says, God, I'm not the guy. I feel inadequate. And by the way, we all need to be there. The Bible says, humble ourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he'll do what? He'll lift you up. God resists the proud, but he gives what? Grace to the humble. All right, let's notice, secondly, grace for an obedient man. Gideon's faith is under construction, and God is going to prove himself and build Gideon's faith before he gets ready to go to battle. Here's the first thing I see, the development of faith. The development of faith. Look at verse 36. And Gideon said unto God, if thou wilt save Israel by my hand, as thou hast said, behold, I will put a fleece of wool in the floor. And if the dew be on the fleece only, and it be dry upon all the earth beside, then shall I know that thou wilt save Israel by my hand, as thou hast said. And it was so. For he rose up early on the morrow and thrust the fleece together and wringed the dew out of the fleece, a bowl full of water. And Gideon said unto God, let not thine anger be hot against me, and I will speak but this once. Let me prove, I pray thee, but this once with the fleece. Let it now be dry only upon the fleece, and upon all the ground let there be dew. And God did so that night, for it was dry upon the fleece only, and there was dew on all the ground. Can I tell you something, folks? God never scorns a sincere heart that really wants to know his will. It's easy for us to be hard on Gideon when he asked God to prove himself, not once, but twice to him. But I want you to remember something. Gideon didn't have the Bible like we have it. He didn't have the 66 books. We believe that Gideon had the law, but perhaps he had never personally read it. Gideon didn't have some of the things that we had, and he just wanted to know that he could trust the word of God. Many times in our life, we have to come to places where we learn that God is able to perform what he's promised. He's able to keep his word. I want you to know that in our lives as modern day believers, the fleece thing doesn't work that often. Why? Because we have a completed canon of scripture. It was D.L. Moody who said, I prayed for faith and it did not come, but when I read the word of God, then faith came. The way to build our faith is Bible intake. Romans 10:17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. There have been some times in my life when I, quote unquote, put out a fleece, and God chose to use the weakness of my faith. But most of the time, and I say this many times from this pulpit, about 99% of God's will for our life is found in God's word. And our faith is built as we learn to read and study and meditate and memorize the Bible. Gideon needed his faith to be developed, so he put out these fleeces. He wanted to learn that he could trust in God, because when he got to the battle, he was going to need to know it. So God is patient. He develops his faith. And by the way, many times that's what's happening in our life. He's using circumstances to drive us to the word so we can learn to trust in him and increase our faith for the battle that is ahead. All right, so we see, first of all, the development of faith. We see, secondly, the display of faith. Because Gideon has learned to test God, now God is going to test Gideon. Warren Wiersbe said, a faith that cannot be tested cannot be trusted. So now God is going to test Gideon a little bit. Gideon calls all throughout the coast of Israel. He gathers a massive army to go to war against the Midianites, about 32,000 men. Now, that was massive for the Israelites, but guess what? Only about a sixth of what the Midianites had. So Gideon got everybody together he could get together, but his army is still only one-sixth of what the Midianites are going to come to battle with. He thinks he's having great faith in God, and he's outnumbered 6-1. Incredibly, though, God says to Gideon, the problem with this army isn't that it's too big or too small. The problem is what? It's too big. And you know the story. God is going to whittle down the size of the army. Look at Judges chapter 7, verse 2. And the Lord said unto Gideon, the people that are with thee are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands.
lest Israel vaunt themselves against me, saying, mine own hand has saved me. Now therefore go to proclaim in the ears of the people, saying, whosoever is fearful and afraid, let him return and depart early from Mount Gilead. And there returned of the people 22,000, and there remained 10,000. God says, your army's too big, Gideon. Tell everybody that's scared that they can go home. I think Gideon probably expected that God had given him many more mighty men of valor, and maybe only 1,000 would go. He wakes up the next morning and 22,000 have gone home, and he's left with only 10,000. After that, God is going to tell Gideon again, your army is still too big. His next step was for Gideon to take his army to the river. You remember that story? And whoever lapped up the water like a dog would be sent home. Whoever put both of his hands in the water, constantly looking, would be in the army. Look at verse 4 again of chapter 7. And the Lord said unto Gideon, the people are yet too many. Bring them down unto the water, and I will try them for thee there. And it shall be that of whom I say unto thee, this shall go with thee, the same shall go with thee. And of whomsoever I say unto thee, this shall not go with thee, the same shall not go down. And he does the thing where I talked about the water. Look at verse 6. And the number of them that lapped, putting their hand to their mouth, were 300 men. But all the rest of the people bowed down upon their knees to drink the water. Gideon's army has now gone from 32,000 to 300 men. And what's the test? Here's the test. Gideon, are you going to trust my word more than your own wisdom? Because any military chief will tell you 32,000 is better than 300. I mean, worldly wisdom says 300 against an army the size of the Midianites, they're going to eat us for lunch. We're not even lunch, we're an appetizer. And what Gideon had to choose to do was trust what God said more than what his eyes saw. And you know what that is, folks? It's faith. What's God doing? God's going to give Gideon a crazy plan here in a minute. And he's going to have to believe it. And so God's developing his faith, growing it, strengthening it, so that he'll be ready to trust God when the battle comes. He develops Gideon's faith one more time in this chapter. I love this little scene. Look at verse 13. And when Gideon was come, behold, there was a man that told a dream unto his fellow. Here's Gideon and his friends, and here's what they've done. They're camping out outside the tents of the Midianites. God says, I'm going to confirm something one more time to you, Gideon. So they go and camp out, and they're going to eavesdrop a conversation. The man said to his fellow, behold, I dreamed a dream, and lo, a cake of barley bread tumbled into the host of Midian and came unto a tent and smote it that it fell and overturned it that the tent lay along. And his fellow answered and said, this is nothing else save the sword of Gideon, the son of Joash, a man of Israel. For into his hand hath God delivered Midian and all the host. And it was so when Gideon heard the telling of the dream and the interpretation thereof that he worshipped and returned unto the host of Israel and said, arise, for the Lord hath delivered into your hand the host of Midian. God says, I'm going to confirm your faith one more time. You go camp out. And it just so happens, Gideon, that you'll overhear a conversation about a guy who had a dream about a loaf of bread. A loaf of bread is not a very strong thing, is it? A loaf of bread tumbling into a tent and turning it over. And it was just coincidence that the man who was next to him said, you know, I think that's Gideon, the son of Joash, and God's delivered us into his hands. What did that do for Gideon again? It showed him, yeah, I may only have 300 men, but God's at work here, and he can be trusted. And we thank the Lord for those confirming experiences in our life, and you've had many of those where God proves to you that he can be trusted. So first of all, we see grace for the humble man. We see, secondly, grace for the obedient man. God called Gideon to do some things that didn't make sense, but he obeyed anyway, and it developed his faith. Let's notice, thirdly, grace for the faithful man. Grace for the faithful man. Can I remind you of something very simple? God is looking to use faithful men and women. You've heard it said before, The greatest ability is not ability, it's availability. God is looking for people who are available to be called and people who will be faithful to their calling. God's going to give Gideon some instructions, and he's going to carry out those instructions in a faithful way, and God will bless as a result. I see, first of all, a clear plan. Look at Judges chapter 7, verse 16. And he divided the 300 men into three companies, and he put a trumpet in every man's hand with empty pitchers and lamps within the pitchers. And he said unto them, look on me, and do likewise. And behold, when I come to the outside of the camp, it shall be that as I do, so shall ye do. And that, by the way, is a great verse about leadership. Verse 18, when I blow with a trumpet, I and all that are with me, then blow ye the trumpets also on every side of the camp, and say the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. Now again, trumpets, empty pitchers, lanterns. Not exactly what anyone would go into war with. Our folks that are in the Middle East right now, I can promise you, they're armed with more than lanterns and trumpets and empty pitchers, all right? If God had showed up to Gideon at the very beginning, when he was in that wine press and said, Gideon, you're only going to have 300 men and you'll only be armed with those things, you think Gideon would have signed up for the assignment? I personally don't think he would have. What's been at work in Gideon's life? Step by step, moment by moment, day by day, God's been developing into the person that can trust the Lord for big things. He that's faithful in that which is least, what? Shall be made ruler over much. The first weapons God gives him are trumpets. It's a ram's horn. It was taken to call for the Lord to fight for the Israelites. There was, it says in my book here, one ram's horn for every 500 Midianites, and there were about 150,000 Midianites. The second weapons were lighted torches, and they were kept inside the pitchers, the vessels of clay. And normally, a torch would represent a unit of soldiers, at least 100 soldiers or more. Thus, when Gideon gave a torch to every soldier, it created an illusion that there was actually more soldiers on Gideon's side than there really was. The third weapon, of course, was the clay pitcher. It would hide the light inside the pitcher until the right moment to expose them. And as they blew the horns and as they cried out, they would smash those pitchers, and it would create a great noise and make confusion within the camp. Some have said that it even caused an echo in that damp night air that would sound throughout that particular part of the world. God's plan often does not fit according to human reason or logic, but I tell you this, there's no plan like God's plan. God's thoughts are higher than our thoughts. His ways are higher than our ways. We can trust him. The strategy the Lord gave Gideon was unlike anything a man could devise, but we know it worked. Look at Judges 7, verse 20. And the three companies blew the trumpets and brake the pitchers and held the lamps in their left hands and the trumpets in their right hands to blow withal, and they cried the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. You know what's ironic about that statement? Is they don't even have a sword. The sword of the Lord and Gideon. And they stood every man in his place round about the camp, and all the host ran and cried and fled. And the 300 blew the trumpets, and the Lord set every man's sword against his fellow. They didn't have any swords, but the Midianites did. And God turned the swords of the Midianites against themselves, even throughout the whole host. And the host fled unto Bethshitta in Zererath, and to the border of Abel-Mehalah, unto Tabith. And the men of Israel appointed themselves out of Naphtali and out of Asher and out of Manasseh and pursued after the Midianites. What a story. Without a doubt, this is a victory that could only come from God. Israel didn't have the weapons or the manpower. They just simply had to put their faith in God's grace. And ladies and gentlemen, the greatest place we can get to in life is where we're not trusting fleshly means. We're not trusting our talents, our abilities, our checkbooks, but when we come to trust by faith the grace of God, and he does things that only he can do. I see, first of all, God gave Gideon a clear plan. Notice secondly and lastly, a complete victory. The Bible tells us that about 120,000 Midianites died that day. Imagine. But there were still 15,000 of them left. And I'm going to rewind so I can be very clear about that, okay? There were 120,000 Midianites killed, about 15,000 of them left, according to Judges chapter 8. Gideon had been tired. He'd been up all night fighting and warring for the Lord. But look at what it says in Judges chapter 8, verse 4. And Gideon came over to Jordan and passed over, he and the 300 men that were with him, faint, yet pursuing them. They had battled all night. They had seen God destroy 120,000 Midianites, only 15,000 left. But the victory that God wants is a complete victory. So they cross over the river and they chase after these men. And the Bible says that they were faint, yet they pursued. Can I just remind you of Galatians 6, verse 9? Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. And if you know Judges chapter 8, Gideon and his 300 men chase after those Midianites and they destroy them all. There's a great illustration in our book about a theologian named Norman Geisler. When he was young, some neighborhood children invited him to come to Vacation Bible School. He accepted the invitation. He continued after VBS to ride the church bus Sunday after Sunday, but stubbornly refused to put his faith and trust in Christ. It was only after he had been picked up 400 times that as a senior in high school, Norman Geisler received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. It could have been very easy for the bus driver and the bus workers to think, what's the use in picking up this kid? He's never going to get saved. His life is never going to change. But that bus driver didn't quit. He continued by faith to do what God had asked him to do, and a great victory was won. In most seminaries in our land, they use a systematic theology written by Norman Geisler. All of us in our life of faith get to a place where we're weary. We all get to a place where we're faint, a place where we want to quit. Take an example from the life of Midian. You may be faint, but keep pursuing. Trust that God will meet you in your weariness. Trust that he will give you grace, and determine to rest in his strength instead of your own, and God will do more than you could ever imagine. What if Gideon had refused to trust in God? What if he had refused to see that he could be the mighty man of valor that he could be? Perhaps the children of Israel live under the oppression of the Midianites for many, many more years, and we miss one of the great examples of faith in God. Worth it. Why? Because faith and grace are always linked, aren't they? By grace, you're saved through what? Through faith. You believe, what do you get? You get saving grace. And can I tell you today that the way you got in the kingdom is the way you grow in the kingdom? Constantly, God is bringing you to situations in your life where it doesn't make sense, and the only thing you can do is trust in God. And you know what happens when you give God your faith? He gives you his grace. Isn't that wonderful? Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the story of Gideon that reminds us that you put us in situations where we have to put our faith in you. And when we do, you give us grace. I pray the folks in these classes, many of them going through situations where they feel inadequate, help them to trust in you, to see what you see. And I pray they'll know your grace. In Jesus' name we pray. All God's people said. And I love that story. Thanks for letting me teach it to you today. God bless you.